when the snow is coming down hard and there's a thick ice crust formed on your kayak, be honest, you don't want to go paddling. But Eric did, all the way around Denmark. And that is who we're going to be hearing from in this podcast, another from seakayakpodcast.com. I'm Simon Willis, and I might be from Newcastle upon Tyne, but I am not as hard as this guy. Ex-Special Forces, I'm going to let Eric pronounce his full name.
My name is Erik B. Jørgensen. It's not so easy for English, I think, but just call me Eric. I'm living in the middle of Denmark, the small island called Fyn. It's, yeah, just the middle of our small country. And now I'm sitting in my small house in a small village, looking out in my garden with snow. Yeah, it's coming snow the last couple of days, and I have a tent put up in the garden to test for the moment. So it's quite nice here.
And the tent is presumably for your next expedition, which we'll come to talk about in a moment. But we should just say, if we do have to get interrupted at the moment, it's because your daughter's not feeling too good and she's upstairs in bed, yes?
Her name is Khan.
Well, I hope she starts feeling a lot better soon. But just tell me a little bit, because as I understand it, you're quite well known now in Denmark because of your kayak expedition, because of the whole of Denmark seemed to get behind you and started following you. So just tell me, what was the aim of the expedition? What were you trying to do?
The aim of the expedition was to take my kayak and go around circularly in Denmark. We have this small, what do you call it, a test where you could paddle around Denmark called the Red White Band, and you get that to follow some small rules to start in the western part of Denmark, go around our main country and the island, and end down with the mainland, with the border at Germany again. The goal of the trip was to do that trip in wintertime, because nobody have done it yet. I feel very exciting to do that and see Denmark in some other time of year and in snow, hopefully. But that was the goal.
But why winter? Was it purely because no one had done it, or was there more to it than that?
There was more to it than that. Actually, it was not my idea. I started kayaking not so long ago, and where I was learned up and teach a little bit. My friend down there suggested we should paddle around Denmark in wintertime because none have done it before. And my expertise, I will say, is winter, because I've done a lot of winter in the army and other places in Greenland and stuff. So I love winter, and I love this challenge to see countries and my own countries in other part of the year than you normally do. So the challenge to see Denmark in wintertime from the sea in a kayak was very promising.
So what were the real challenges? What made it more difficult in winter? Was it the weather? Was it the logistics? Was it just the temperature of your you know, in your body? Because I've seen some photographs in which you are very encrusted in ice. It looks more like a skiing thing. Or was it just the water supply where you had to melt snow? What were the real challenges there?
My real challenges was for winter, because our normally winter is rain and a lot of wind. So, of course, it's cold, but there's no ice and snow. And it's ended up to be the worst winter for 23 years I paddled around. So I started in the normally Danish winter with a little bit of snow, but nice weather, and it became very cold. I have minus 10 to minus 15 degrees, and there was coming a lot of snow and ice. So the last part of the trip, I actually have so much ice to fall against. So it was so difficult.
And it was freezing. When you said there's so much ice, it was freezing on you. The water was freezing on you, was it?
Yes, in the last part. If it were, it was wind and then waves, the water was freezing on my kayak and on my body, so I have a lot of ice on me. I have to kick off during the day, and sometimes I just have to stop a little bit earlier because I'm so tired.
And I've seen pictures of you dragging your kayak to the start of a day, it looks more like you should be on skis and it should be a pulk, actually. Is that was and did it make it easier or harder to get to the beach? That bit looked a bit easier, I'll be honest, actually.
Yeah, actually, in the start of well, western part of Denmark, we have Vesterhavet, the big ocean to west where we have the big waves, and so there was no ice in the water. So actually, the snow on the beach make it much easier, because in the start I have to go three times up to camp with my gear and my kayaks, and when the snow arrived I could just use it as a pulk and pull it up in and make camps and back to the water again. But after the first half of the country there was a lot of ice, so it gave me a lot of problems. In the eastern part of the country where you see these pictures of me pulling on the ice, there was 2 to 5 kilometers ice off shore. So I actually have a lot of problems to come in the shore in the evening. So one of the times I used 5 hours to climb through the ice and into shore. So some of the other days I actually camp on the ice 2.5 kilometers out on the ice. I just put my tents up because the ice was so thick.
I had no idea it would be quite so bad in Denmark, of all places. I don't, there's me thinking it's a, you know, it's not quite that wild, but goodness.
No, I didn't think so either. I've seen it many years ago, but last winter was very bad.
Yes, we should say this was the winter of 2009 into 2010, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah. So it's actually 1 year since I stopped today.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yes, we're recording this on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, and I was just looking back through your blog, and actually I wondered if you'd realised that it was a year to the day, but I'm sure you do.
I do.
I bet that was a relief. But it's been described to me as if an awful lot of people in Denmark started following your progress of this madman who was paddling around the coast. Is that right? Because there's been stuff on TV and there's a book about it.
Yeah, it's developed a lot. I actually start very quiet out because I was actually a little bit scared of the western part of Denmark because we have these very big waves. Mm. So I started in silence. I only think 5 people know I started. And I put in the paper for the start, and I just started the 28th of December 2009 and paddled out. And after, I think, 2 weeks, press begin to hear about me because the winter was getting very bad, and the newspaper write about people who stuck in the cars and people who go to the hospitals have to be picked up by army car vehicles and so on, and they don't have more to write about, so they hear about me paddling in the sea in the winter, so they pick up the story very fast, and it's just accelerate all through the trip. So all kind of media went to me, newspapers, magazines, radio, television, and in that way the kayak world was also following me. So I have a lot of visitors on my blog and writing to me and cheer me up and so on. So it was very exciting.
We should mention that blog as well, because it's http://, and it's komud.dk. Komud, is it? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Just
it means come out in Danish. So I say come out in the nature.
Oh,
so
good.
It's Danish for that.
I understand. I would that you anticipated my next question as to what that was. Did you like all this media attention, or were you just trying to get, I don't know, a nice bit of peace and quiet, or did it actually help keep you going?
It was a little bit of both, because I living of do expedition, but normally in Greenland and stuff. So I saw this kayak trip as a small trip between the others, and it would be nice quiet, and I want to do it, and it surprised me very much how many people who follow me and how many people who have an opinion on about safety and about our mat or about I should do it or not and so on, but most people cheer me up, and I liked it because suddenly I have all these people expecting me to do it finish, and a lot of people actually went to the beaches and waved to me and came to me with cookies and stuff and invited me in. So I was around for 49 days, and 24 of the days people invited me in because I have this GPS tracker on.
Yep.
So people could know where I was. So when they know where it was getting dark and I have to stop, they stand in the beach and shouted to me, "Will you stay with us?" And it was very, very funny to see how much people want to help and be a part of the adventure.
That's wonderful. I must say, I do find people are generally nice when it comes to that. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that they wanted to help because they heard about it, and that's good. Although I should imagine trying to arrange to meet TV crews at certain times must have been a bit of a pain.
Yeah, sometimes. One of the key points of Denmark is when you go to the top of a mainland called Skagen, you have two big oceans come together, and it can be pretty rough. And I have a very nice day there, but the TV team come too late, so I have passed it. So they come up to me, I have to paddle. I paddle back again and do it one more time so we can get some film. So sometimes it was giving a little bit more extra work.
Yeah, I always used to say the mantra of the television industry was, "That was wonderful, but can you do it again?" It's what we always end up saying. Yeah. Well, how did you start kayaking, Eric?
I always wanted to do it, but I have been very busy in the military in a lot of years. And I was in this small unit in Greenland called Sledge Patrol Sirius, where we drive dog sleds for 2 years and 2 months at a time. And where I bought my first kayak in 2000, a doubled folding kayak from Clipper. After that, I joined the Special Forces, so I don't have so much time. So it went out one a year, a couple of days with my girlfriend or some of my friends. And in 2008, I bought my first solo kayak, and I have a half season paddle for my own and make rescues and so on. And actually first in 2009, same year as I started in the summertime, when I returned from Greenland in June after a summer of expeditions, actually I start paddling serious and getting lessons, and I start teaching and
so just
surfing and so.
Okay, so your first real sessions in a single kayak were in the same year that you undertook this expedition.
Yeah. And I really paddled 300 k's before, not more.
Okay, some would say that would be in at the deep end, we would say.
Yes, it of course, if you see it on that way. But I have been very lucky in my life to test my body in all kind of way in Special Forces. Mm. In that way, I'm used to learn very fast. And I found out when I have to learn, I find the best and try to learn from them. So I learn faster. I can learn a lot by going to the best and do a lot of practicing hard.
I think that's important. I mean, your time in the Special Forces. Are you still in the military, by the way?
No, I actually stopped in 2008. It was a coincidence. I had to take over my father's farm, and it didn't went well. So suddenly, I stood without the military and without a farm. So I start my own company.
And your company is running these expeditions, is that right, for people? Just tell me a little bit about your business.
My business is lectures about my life. I talk about the special units I've been in, the Sirius Patrol, and I talk about the special forces like USSAS, the Danish Jäger Corps. Mm-hmm. And I have some lectures about big expedition I have been. I've been on a long expedition in Greenland in 2009, where we kite over the inland ice, the ice cap, up to the northeastern part of Greenland, all the historic places up there. And after 83 days, my partner get disease, appendix, the stomach problems.
Oh, the appendix. His appendix burst.
No, but he was very sick in the northeastern part of Greenland. So it was a mess, but we had to be rescued, and it was a hard time, but it went well. So I write books about that and make lectures in schools and in companies and so on. So actually, that's my living, to do new expeditions and write about it.
I see. So I made a mistake there. I actually thought you took people on some of these trips, that you guided them, but you don't. You go off and you have these big expeditions.
I also guide. Also have a small company, but it's for fun. We teach people up and take them over the ice cap with 600 Ks, the classic trip from Kanalusra to Isutok on Greenland. So I speak with people in 1 year before and get them in shape. And I take them up in 14 days where we have some preparation and testing, and we wear, go over the ice cap in about 27 days. So I make trip for people also.
So have you now hung up your skis? I mean, are you going to do everything now in a kayak, or is it back on skis for you?
No, it's both. Kayaking is so great for me because I do that alone. And it fits very well because when I go to Greenland on big expedition, I always together with a partner from the sledge patrol. So it's a good mixture between being close together with people and be alone. The next trip I'm going on is kayaking, and in 2012 we return to Greenland and do the expedition again without disease.
Right, yes. That would be nice. But tell me about the one you're heading off to soon. You're going off on another trip quite soon, aren't you? And I know nothing about this, so I'm starting from scratch here.
I've been planning since last trip. I want to kayaking the rest of Scandinavian countries. So here, 1st of April, I leave Denmark and be taking my car with a friend and drive to the northeastern corner of Norway to the border of Russia. Laxel, it's called. It's just the border between Norway and Russia. Almost. Right. Yeah, Kirkenes is just at the west of it. So it's, Kirkenes.
Right.
Okay. And I will paddle out from there, take the shore of Norway, and after that Sweden and Finland, and end in Russia again. I take all three countries' shoreline.
So is the idea to go around Norway, then under Sweden, and then are you going to go right around the Gulf of Bothnia, or are you going to cut across?
No, I'm going up.
You're going up the
Gulf? No, I don't cut across. The way up.
So you really are just going to keep the land on the left, really, aren't you?
Yeah, almost.
Right.
I've taken 6 months off to do it, and there's 7,200 kilometers about.
Right. Now, my math's terrible. How far are you going to have to paddle every day then for that?
Yeah, about 40. I planned with a little about 30 in the start and going up to 50 in the summertime, and I put a lot of spare days in for bad weathers and so on. So it's end up with everything a little bit under 40 k's a day.
Right, okay.
It's a lot.
Are you trying to encompass all of the islands? Will you go outside all the islands, or will you try to go inside all the islands?
I go inside.
Yeah.
My plan is to go on the safe side, and there's more to look on and more life, and it's more fun.
I know, absolutely. And so when you get to headlands like Start and places like that, will you portage? Because that's an amazingly big headland to have to get around. Just south of Alessand.
Start.
Yes, I believe that's the name.
No,
my Norwegian is not that good, I have to say. But I was thinking of kayaking in that area, and I was warned about it. I was told that they're actually blasting a tunnel.
Oh, Start. I'm been. Yeah, there's very bad weather. I have to go around it. There's no good way or other. But I put a lot of spare days, so I don't take any chance. And that should be very nice in good weather. So I hope for good weather.
So are you going to enjoy paddling in the summer rather than the hardships of winter?
Yeah, I think so. But I like spring and so on where it's not so hot because I can take clothes off. But in summertime, I just have to sweat. So, of course, I look forward not to freeze, but I like when it's not so hot.
Incidentally, why are you coming south? Because I would have thought that... I might be wrong, but I would have thought it would have been the winds would have been behind you if you're going north.
Yeah, there's two reasons for that. All the books, all the information I have found for people who have paddled the Norwegian shore have gone from north to south, so I think if so many people do that would be fine. And also we have a Gulf Stream going around Norway, so I don't have any ice in the start. But when you come to the autumn, there's a lot of wind in outer shore in Norway. The people I talked with said that if I could choose between early spring or autumn, maybe choose early spring in Norway.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? You've done your research.
Yeah, I do a little bit, but actually, I most look at what other people done and think if they do it in that way, why not? And I like to get the worst part in my opinion first, and come in more protected waters in the end.
Sounds like a good plan. And you'll be blog will you be blogging as you paddle? Will we be able to read of your exploits?
Yeah, I've been blogging every day. I see it as a way of living, so I have to blog every day and put pictures up. I write in Danish, but I think the translation button will do it in okay English.
It's good, actually. It's a very good button. And every now and again, it produces a word
Okay.
that leaves you scratching your head. But no, it is very good, and it's a very
Yeah.
entertaining blog as well. So keep it up. We'll be following it. And you start when?
I leave Denmark 1st of April, and I think about a week after that, I will start paddling, depending on weather. And so the next half years, you can just follow.
Tell me about the equipment you're going to be using, the boats, the tents, that sort of thing.
I get a brand new kayak actually from a Danish company called Aero Kayaks, who made my other kayak I've used in Denmark round, and they make a new expedition model called Empower. The figures will be very fast, and I get a lot of space to pack, and it should be very well in waves. So I'm looking very forward to get this first model of it. So that's the kayak,
Well,
Danish designed, and it's made in a factory in Thailand.
I hope it works all right, considering you're getting the first one. My goodness me, that's not a place to discover your kayak
Yeah.
doesn't work.
No, it I see the shape of it, and it's very similar to other kayaks I like very much, and it's very similar to the one I paddled Denmark around. It's get a little bit longer and a little bit faster, and I get some more space to pack, and I know the guy who have made it, so I just get the text pictures now where he's paddled in Thailand right now, and it's look very well.
I think we recorded a podcast with your friend, actually. I think there's one somewhere on the website. Any
Yeah,
other special gear that you're
actually,
using?
no, not so much. I try to get the best of the different part, but I get the last quite equipment deals now, so I actually don't know quite what tent I have to use yet, but I think it end up with a hill sport tent, but it doesn't matter so much. And I getting testing a new paddle for this moment called Avanak. A Norwegian guy have made a paddle between a Greenland style paddle and a wing paddle. So it's actually a Greenland paddle with a wing paddle in. Seems very different, but it's actually very nice to paddle with. I
It
catch the water
sounds
very well,
very,
and
very strange. I'd like to see a picture of that. I think there's a picture on
yeah.
your blog, actually. I think I saw something on your blog.
Yeah, it's actually a small video, and I will write more about it. But he sent me one and say, test it if you like. And I tested it, and I'm very surprised in how well it's catch the water and gets speed. And actually, it's have the same ability to roll as a Greenland paddle, so I can reel the same way. I'm looking very forward to test it
Because
some more.
I imagine actually on a trip of that length, you don't really want that big a blade on the end, do you? Because the strain it'll put on your body if it's too big could be quite enormous if you're doing that sort of distance day after day.
Yeah, I tested a lot of paddles for the last half year, and I actually think I end up with bringing me three paddles to put the stress of a body, so I can take a paddle with a small blade if it's windy, and a bigger blade if I want speed, so I can change it during the day when I have to paddle so long time.
Sounds like a marvelous trip. Are you going to, what about your
Yeah.
daughter? You're not going to see your daughter for 6 months.
I think they will be visited me in Norway and Sweden, but it's not many times. But that's life. If you want to go on expedition, you have to leave the loved ones behind and catch up another time.
Ah, the sacrifices people make. Eric has already started blogging about that expedition, so you can follow it every step of the way at komud, komud.dk. Come out in Danish. And while you're online, check out more of the podcasts at ckacpodcast.com. I'd be most grateful. I'm Simon Willis. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Goodbye.